Hello, and welcome to this special Big Boat interview. My name is Lucy Dunn, and I'm the Acting Features Director of Boat. Today, I have the privilege of talking to venture capitalist, bon vivant, and self-confessed serial yacht owner Bobby Genovese, who is the founder of BG Capital Group Limited and BG Capital Management Corporation based in the Bahamas. And I'm also here with his fiancée, Dee Dee Taylor Eustace, founder of interior design architect firm Taylor Hannah Architects. So before we start, I need to tell you where we are. We're here in Bobby and Dee Dee's super stylish, sun-filled ranch in Ocala, Florida. It's a real oasis, the perfect mix of laid-back and chic and a home they've built together. But as we'll talk about more later, this is not Bobby and Dee Dee's first big design project together. In 2015, Bobby bought a 47-metre fed ship called Charade, which the couple refitted, and the result is a real labour of love.
Hi, both.
Hello, Lucy.
Hello, hi, Lucy. Hi. So, let's start with Bobby. Bobby, have you always loved the water?
I always have. I just think water brings out the best in everybody.
And describe your first boating experience.
I think I fell off.
No, a good one, a good one.
having a cottage growing up, boating, water skiing, swimming was always a big part of our lives. And I just had an affinity of looking at boats, especially the classics, and loved them.
Mm. And talking of classics, you have a fleet of old wooden racing boats. Why? And how many do you have?
Start with why.
Well, again, I feel very, very fortunate and blessed to have probably three of the most iconic boats in Canada. Miss Canada 3 is 29 feet, powered by a Merlin airplane engine, and was the first Canadian boat to win not only the Gold Cup, but broke the world speed record.
Okay.
But in 1939.
Wow.
Crazy.
Miss Canada 4, her sister, was built in 1949 and launched in 1950 to compete in the Helmsworth race, which was the global race in the world. And although never won, her credit is the first boat in the world to crack 200 miles an hour on the water. Now, keeping in mind, these are all wooden boats. And she was powered by a Griffin airplane engine, which comes out of the Spitfire in Europe.
So pretty speedy.
There's no reverse or neutral.
And do you take them out still?
Every time I take them out, people go crazy because they're such Canadian iconic boats. Yeah. And my other, probably third, in an area we have in Canada called Muskoka, the Rambler at 73 feet and built in 1903, is the classic that everybody on all three lakes in that region know. And she truly is beloved by everybody up there because they've seen her through the generations all the way up.
And do you race them?
I don't race them, but I certainly take them to different regattas, shows.
I have to interrupt. He did go to regatta with one of your mechanics and he did get in the fire suit and they did go to race in a regatta.
But it wasn't a race. It was just a display of people hearing that engine being a Spitfire plane engine, which is 8.5 feet in a boat.
Wow.
It was spectacular.
So they hear you coming.
From a long way away. There's no sneaking up on anybody.
Usually we take them out, we get towed back the other way because we just go
true.
Fast.
That's true.
That's true.
Okay, brilliant. So you grew up on a farm in Ontario.
I did.
And famously admitted you weren't academically inclined.
Not even a little.
Leaving school at ninth grade. Was your mum cross with you?
Horrified, horrified. And a life lesson. And her position was, if you're not going to go to school, then you can't live at home, thinking I would go to school the next day. And luckily, I was able to find a job with accommodation as a barn manager, because the only thing I knew was horses. And that started my career looking after and taking care of horses and teaching riding and on.
And you then formed BG Capital Group a few years down the line after that. But what working in with horses, how did you make the leap from that to that?
Well, your first lesson working with horses is you quickly understand that the people that have all the money are the ones that own the horses.
Yeah.
Us working in the barn, not so much. So I thought, I've got to get on the other side of the horse. So I started to do a little bit of entrepreneuring. That led me to Vancouver, Canada, which was home to the Vancouver Stock Exchange, which is world renowned for the venture exchange. If you've got an idea or a company that needs financing, that's where you go. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me leapfrog into some different businesses to eventually create BG Capital Group.
Fabulous. And then apart from business, what drives you?
Well, I think part of my motto is who has more fun than us? I love creating memories and events that gets not only my family and friends, but the community involved. And I think a lot of good comes from that.
And you're a collector of big boats too.
I am.
Apart from it, not just wooden boats, but big boats. So how many is in your collection now?
Well, at the time up to recently, we had BG Charade, which is our 47-meter fed ship. We had BG Lazara, which was a 78-foot beautiful, one of my favorite boats. And then from there, we bought a 74-foot Sunseeker, not so much my favorite. And that was BG3. And then I thought, I've obviously got a problem. And then after a few years, started to sell them off.
So tell me about Charade, because that's probably the jewel in the crown.
I loved Charade. It's like when people say you walk into a room and you fell in love with that girl. I was on my Lazara yacht, and we would come into the marina, and I would see Charade there in the marina. And I just thought she was the most beautiful boat I'd ever seen. And maybe one day I could own her or somebody like her. And as fate would have it, it sort of came together, and Dee Dee and I were lucky enough to purchase her, and then the refit started.
But before that, yeah, how did you purchase it? What was it? Was it a little bit of an impulse buy?
Well, I mean, great advice to other
for the record, Dee Dee's nodding.
Yeah, other yacht to be owners or yacht owners now. You shouldn't drink and buy boats. So okay.
I'll make a note of that.
Just pass that along through the podcast. It will help people that are thinking about it.
Or keep it to one bottle of wine.
And so, yes, you mentioned the refit, and you went about refitting Charade in a certain way. What did you do?
I think, Lucy, having been on boats as much as I have and doing the boat shows and seeing boats and being on boats, I knew what I wanted on the boat. Mm-hmm. And that was a big help. Because I do think a lot of people can go the wrong way in doing a refit or buying a boat that they think is practical but isn't. So Charade had all of the classic lines. I, you know, the first thing I wanted to do was, the boat had been owned by Paul Allen from Microsoft. Bill and Melinda Gates had had their honeymoon on the boat. The boat had traveled around the world three different times. So I went to a gentleman by the name of Robert Shepherd, who is now with Edmundston Yachts. But Robert was the chef on the boat for 10 years. So I phoned Robert and introduced myself and said I'd bought Charade and could I fly him to Fort Lauderdale where the boat was being refit and get his ideas, having spent 10 years on the boat, what he would do differently or what he would change. And both he and Dee Dee came up with the idea that the dining room, which was a completely separate room from the boat, rarely, if ever, got used. So why not take that space and turn it into a sixth stateroom, and have, you know, a VIP master stateroom on the main deck? Rarely happens. But this presented the perfect opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. So Dee Dee, coming to you, because Bobby mentioned you were a powerful force in refitting. So you're an accomplished designer architect. Has design always been a passion of yours?
Absolutely. So for me, back in sort of high school, I would write exams in math between sort of 96 and 100, probably in some kind of purple one jumpsuit outfit. Yeah. And so I loved fashion and I had a photographic memory and I loved the logical planning and I loved math. So I kind of combined that and I studied both at the University of Toronto and the Academy of Rome in Italy, architecture. So first and foremost, I'm an architect. As well as an interior designer. And now I'm doing some development as well.
So you design and develop both residential and commercial properties. Do you have one signature style or do you let the environment and its age and space dictate your vision?
I think what I really strive for is iconic design. So I always look at, you know, Picasso could have never painted cubism had he not been able to paint a perfect still life. So when I was, you know, educated in architecture, it was during the postmodern, Robert Stern, Michael Graves, I understand classicism, and that takes me back to Charade. It's a classic boat. But I also understand today's materiality and technology. So that's where the yin and the yang come, or that's where sort of, you know, the cubism, or so I never stock items for a project. I really look back at that history. I look at where it comes from and then what can we do today in its materiality and technology. So in terms of Charade, as Bobby mentioned, we are converting the dining room, which was inside the galley, into a VIP. So we had the water from the galley so we could do the full bathroom in our own owner's suite. I could add a bathtub in the way that the water was configured, et cetera. And then there was these classic lines in Charade, very tall below, tall ceilings, very modern, the detailing. There's wood, it was actually pink bleached wood on the walls, but in terms of detail, flat baseboard reveal, tall panels of wood segmented every 3 to 4 feet. So for that, I could keep the grain and we could paint it white. So there were things that were classic in the boat, the beautiful chrome around the windows, the actual ceiling that they had put this almost metallic reflection mirrored finish. We did rip out, the broad loom, the carpets, the bone. Think of it like 1990. An Upper East New York apartment. So many different sort of details that we wanted it more streamlined, like a Hampton house. So beautiful wood floors, the classical white walls, a great art collection, and many different types of furniture.
Brilliant. And there was something, the baths, you mentioned that you put some baths in.
Right. So it down below, we kept the bathrooms as they were. They're creme de marfil. They're classic, beautiful. Up top, we added two new ones. So one in the VIP, gray and white, check, classic. And then in, I think it's one of Bobby's favorite stories, the bathtub is in the master. It had to have a little bit of restructuring. It is a steel hull boat. So we did a little bit of restructuring on that. And yeah, there's a beautiful bathtub in our master. We love it. And he loves it.
He's nodding.
He's nodding. He's very happy with that.
And any problems on the way?
No, I mean, I think that anything in renovation or refit, it you know, in 25 years, it needed some obviously structural pieces, mechanical, electrical things that were dated. In terms of problems, I think what you encounter is more of just timing, coordination, materiality, bringing pieces in, different surveys that needed to happen. But in terms of overall, I think that the boat worked out beautifully. We got nominated for one of the top refits that year in 2016. And I think what was cool is that we could keep certain aspects, like the Carl Springer, very famous designer in the 1970s, the dining room table. I repurposed it. I put another piece and it was gold leaf and I added wood in the middle. So again, trying to keep the history of it. And I think we retain that.
That's a recurring theme with you both. Sort of, you like to take classics and give them new life.
Look what I've done to him.
And how is designing yachts different from designing houses?
So I think the one thing that's interesting is in anything, and this is the second boat, I did a sailing yacht out of Newport. And I think in three dimensions, just how I picture and visualize items. But this is really thinking also in the fourth dimension with time, and it's moving in the water. So, you know, nothing is a straight wall. There's a keel to it. There's a bend to it. So I think differently is that you need to think volumetrically versus just plan and elevation, because they all fit together. As the wall comes up, how does it hit the ceiling? What does the ceiling do? How does it articulate? We tried to grab every height possible. So we raise the ceilings throughout. And then obviously it's also a yacht that has to move and it bends. And so there's panelizations on the ceiling and there's access hatches. So there's a lot of integration that goes with that.
And I suppose that your experience of and your career as an architect comes in handy.
Well, the way materiality goes together, so we have the traditional teak wood with the Hollywood outside and then the teak actual railing that goes around. We wanted to keep that. So how do we keep that materiality in the salt water, et cetera? And just how pieces come together, you know, how the hardware, I designed all the hardware in the boat, the B and then the backwards G and the mechanism that opens and closes the doors and how they have to shut down when the boat is moving. You know, so there is a lot about being an architect that you have to understand function and actually how the boat moves, and then comes with the interiors, how aesthetically, you know, form versus function and function versus form.
And flow as well?
Flow is really important because, you know, I really like boxcar design where you go from room to room, but obviously in a yacht you have many hallways and galleys. So I try to minimize that. You know, you come in the middle of the salon, then there's an access to the galley and then down to the owner's cabin. So how does that feel and how do we use the space without always, you know, making it a hallway?
Yeah. Okay, Bobby, what lessons have you learned from your, because you've done up a couple of yachts now. What lessons would you, any advice you would give to owners as well?
Well, I think it always comes down to budget. You just have to really do everything you can to stick to a budget that you've set out. Like a house, like a boat, like anything, it just can spin out of control so fast. Mm. And you've got to remember, a yacht is usually a depreciating asset. So you've just got to figure out what I really want to do, what's the end result, and stick to that.
And you were telling me about size as well and how it's...
Well, And, you know, as I said earlier, I love boats. I know what I need and want on a boat. And I've just found that that 140 to 150 foot yacht, for me personally, is all you need. I've been on 180 foot, 200, 250, 300 foot yachts. And you lose, for me, the boats are incredible. I mean, let's admit it. They are works of wonder. But the intimacy is gone. Everything is so big that you lose your guests. You lose your family. You know, and then you've got 20 or 30 crew running around. And at the end of the day, you know, the part of the boat is the intimacy of being close to the water and feeling it and doing it. You're now on a cruise ship. It's so I just don't get it. I think Charade at 47 meters is the perfect size.
But you've decided to sell Charade. Is that right?
Well, I've decided after 8 years traveling the world, having done things walking with Komodo dragons in Indonesia, living with elephants in Thailand, swimming with whale sharks. I've done it all. But, you know, we are now finishing a new home in the Bahamas, Old Fort Bay, which is spectacular. And I feel a lot of our boating is now going to be in the Bahamas, surrounding islands in Florida. And for the boaters and yacht owners that are listening to this, know the waters are shallow. So it's an issue. And with Charade being as big as she is, with a draft of 11 plus feet, you know, you're really limited where you can go.
So you have to say goodbye.
Well, let's not say goodbye. Let's say we'll see you again soon.
And what about your, so your next boat? Would it be an off the peg or another classic?
Well, it's funny. I love the classics, but I did spot a boat a few years ago at the Monaco Boat Show that I fell in love with. And even back then, I recognized that the catamaran market is growing because you've got that huge volume of space that you just don't get on a traditional hull-style boat. So I believe that, Sunreef will be the next boat that we have.
Okay, so on the subject of Sunreef, you've got some news perhaps to share?
Well, it's pretty exciting, and thank you for asking. So Robert Riva and myself now have the exclusivity of selling Sunreefs for the Bahamas, North America.
Brilliant.
It's fantastic. And it is truly one of the fastest growing brands of boats. And I just think people are going to embrace these boats and love them.
And you'll be able to talk about boats and sail on pet boats
and have new buyers come on my boat and see why we love it, and it's going to be amazing.
Brilliant.
Who has more fun than us?
Which is Bobby's catchphrase. Brilliant, yes. And describe your perfect day on the water.
Well, it's with Dee Dee and the kids. I mean, we've got every water toy possible. And all we do is compete against each other all day on who can stand up on the automatic hydrofoil board or the thing that flies you in the air, or just basically waiting for an injury to happen to somebody through the through the day is always fun.
You're quite competitive.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You're a competitive couple.
Oh, competitive. The first time that we met and played tennis, I won. Now, he'll say, you've got to know when to lose.
But well, that's you want to know when you want a second date.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so funny. Excellent. And also, coming back to, what's your favorite spot on Charade? Do you have a spot?
Well, I was going to... Bobby has a spot everywhere we go. He has a corner, a chair. I can tell you exactly where he's going to be sitting if I'm going to be looking for him. So he can talk about his on Charade. I would say that I really love the owner's suite. I love the intimacy. We have a beautiful, you know, obviously the bed, the sheets, everything is stunning. And the way that we articulated the ceiling to come down the wall, and there's a great place to sit, relax. So there's a desk. So in that particular bed, there's just great space. And you know, I will have my family in to have coffee with us in the morning, or right. So it feels luxurious, but it also feels intimate. So I think that's one of my favorite.
Bobby?
I have a chair in the main salon.
He does.
By the window. And I happen to like the world passing by. So I watch the crew run by, I watch the shoreline go by, and I get excited about the next location coming up on the horizon. And yeah, it's hard to get me out of that
chair. See, next time I'm just going to get him a yacht with a chair. I think that's all he really needs. And he sits on these Calvin Klein chairs with these Porto Romano wall sconces. This great table, and he really it swivels. The chair swivels, has to swivel.
You're not a frustrated captain. You're not up in the wheelhouse going.
No.
Go left, go right. Go faster.
No. I don't even know how you start the boat.
Not even a little bit. He doesn't want to fly the plane. He doesn't want to drive the boat. He likes to sit in his chair.
I wonder if we have a key. Do we have a key to start the boat? I don't even know. No, I have zero interest. I just want to know we're going to get there.
And where do you like going?
Well, I mean, anywhere where there's new adventures and places we haven't been and truly exploring the world. I don't want to look back and say, I wish I had it. I want to look back and say, man, I did it all.
Thank you for listening to this Big Boat interview. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to tune in every week for news and updates from the Boat Briefing podcast. This episode was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production by Boat International Media.